near the city of Leon, approximately the geographic center of Mexico, on a high mountain, is a very large statue of Christ the King. The statue is about 75 feet tall and is supported by a large base and is surrounded by a chapel and a courtyard. This beautiful shrine and statue were constructed as a memorial for those brave Catholics who fought and died for their faith during the official government persecution by the Mexican government of the Catholic Church about 100 years ago. This is the same persecution during which St. Toribio Romo, who is depicted in one of our windows, was shot and killed as he prepared to celebrate Mass. This monument of Christ the King is both a sign of victory and a memorial of suffering. Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. And the liturgy draws us to the image of Jesus Christ, who is the glorious and reigning King of the universe. He is the one through whom the power of evil is broken and all things are made new. Christ is the King who receives everlasting dominion, glory, and kingship. His is a dominion that cannot be taken away and a kingship that can never be destroyed. It is Christ the King who is the faithful witness and the firstborn of the dead. He is the one who loves us and who has freed us from our sins. Christ is the King who has made us part of his kingdom and who will return in glory. We celebrate today that Christ our Lord has claimed dominion over all creation so that he might present to his God and Father an eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. And yet, the gospel does not give us the image of Christ as the triumphant ruler. We do not see him today as judge of the nations at the end of history, or as the shepherd who protects his flock. Today we encounter the Lord Jesus before Pontius Pilate. We see Jesus as the one who is to be scourged and crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. We see our King as one who suffers for and suffers with his people. Asked by Pilate about his identity as a king and about his kingdom, the Lord Jesus responded, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." Pilate did not recognize the kingdom, and the world did not recognize the kingdom because they didn't recognize the King. For Jesus preached the message of the love of God. He declared the poor and the peacemakers blessed. He fed the thousands upon thousands, and now before Pilate, Jesus declares that he had come to testify to the truth. And he reveals what appears as the greatest contradiction in his kingdom. The King reigns from a cross. In suffering is found the redemption of the world. When we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his suffering and death. What that means is that every event of suffering in our lives, by our union with Christ, becomes our own privileged share in his sufferings. And so when we encounter the suffering of illness, we know the pain of the nails in his hands and his feet. In each and every emotional suffering, we know the experience and the isolation of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we certainly know the suffering in the heart of Mary. as we accompany those who are dear to us on their own way of the cross. Yet Christ is King of the suffering. He is not some far-off ruler apart from his people. He is with us, and we are with him. That's the good news of this feast day, that in the events and the difficulties, in the triumphs and the tragedies, in the sorrows and in the sufferings, the kingdom of God is at hand. Christ, our King, desires to reign in us and to accomplish his will through us. Christ is King in each of our sufferings. And now we come to the altar, where each of our sufferings is received. We come to the feast of our glorious King, and we pray that his kingdom come and his will be done in us as it is in heaven. Amen.